I'm going to ask Elizabeth to come and share a testimony that I believe everyone needs to hear today. We've been praying for this young lady for a long time for a lot of things. Praise God. And she's my favorite person to pick on. I don't know what it is. It just draws me to her. Amen. I just enjoy it because she's a good sport, and she's a gracious lady, and she forgives me for all the little remarks I make because this is because we love each other, and we're brothers and sisters here, and we all know what brothers and sisters do to one another. Can you say amen? See there? Hallelujah. But God has been so good, and when I pray for everybody and your faces come before me, the last thing I pray for, not because it's not important, but if we get all the other stuff lined up, God takes care of that physical part of us. Actually, financial is next from physical, but it begins with spiritual. You prosper as your soul prospers, but then everything else lines up just like it ought to be. And we're so grateful that God has left her with us for a while. She's had many, many, many. You know that song, Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door, that old pop song? She's been there knocking a lot of times. Amen. But the Lord has said, no, not now, not now. I'm not done. I love Psalm 118. My dad, years ago, I mean 20 years ago, you know, he's 92 now, but 20 years ago, he went to the doctor for the flu, actually, they treated him for the flu without even checking his lungs. So many people had the same thing. The doctor just ran him through, wrote him a prescription, got him out of the way. He had double pneumonia in 3 days and was at the point of death. And the doctor said, we've given him antibiotics, all that he can handle, but it'll be 24 hours before we know if he will live or he will die. And I remember sitting in the parking lot under a street light at about 1 o'clock in the morning at South Florida Baptist Hospital with that kind of report, and opening my Bible, I said, Lord, just show me what your will is for my dad right now. And one thing stood out, and that was that he taketh my part with them that help me. And that means that he can use doctors, but we can't stop with them because they have limits and God doesn't. Can you say amen? And then the next thing that stood out, because it looked like David was just going to be destroyed. I mean, he was in the desert hiding for his life. His son had vowed to kill him, take his kingdom. Many of his countrymen had joined this coup, and he was running for his life, and it looked like there was no way out. And God told him, thou shalt not die, but live and glorify me. Can you say amen? Praise God. So I believe that's what the Lord has spoke to our sister down through these years, because I remember years ago the doctor he's almost like he's mad at her. He just give up and walked away. But I'm so glad for a great physician that said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Praise God. Just tell what the Lord is doing right now. Yes.
Well, it's been 9 years ago when the doctor told me that I'd probably only live 2 years at the most. So a couple of years later, I was still hanging on. They told my daughter, Jessica, your mom will never live to see 45. Well, praise the Lord, I just turned 55, woo! And I'm still hanging.
Wow.
And I just recently had to go to the hospital because I was having chest pains. And, they found out there's three of my medicines that I take, plus diabetes that's damaging my kidneys. But I did find out a good thing. I didn't have a heart attack. I've had 9, but I didn't have a heart attack. And they found... My cardiologist says he brought me in these 8x10 pictures of pictures that he had did test on my heart 3 years ago, and then some he had just did while I was in the hospital. And I have 2 arteries that out of 3 of that were bypassed that are dead, but one of them that was dead is growing new little arteries. There's like 15 or 20 little arteries growing. And he says, I want to show you something. And I looked at it, and it looked like tree branches with no leaves. And I go, what is that? And he goes, I don't know. For some odd reason, you're growing new arteries.
Some odd reason, yeah. That is odd.
But I know it's God, and I know it's God keeping me, because I've had 9 heart attacks. And I've had stent replacement 21 times. So yeah. I'm a Woo. Product of grace, mercy.
Hallelujah. And
His
miracles.
Keeping power, miracles.
And miracles. Praise yes. God. Amen.
So just if you're down and out, just keep trusting God because God is faithful.
Yeah.
I'm
hallelujah.
Living proof God is faithful.
Yes, He is. Praise God. Thank God for His mercy, His love and grace and His miracles, growing new arteries. Amen. While they're coming to you for the offering, I want to just say a few words before we receive Holy Communion this morning. When the Bible said to lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. It goes on to say how we're to look to Him, because it says, consider Him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and faint in your own mind. In other words, communion is to help us to remember Him in a particular, peculiar way, suffering and dying in our place on the cross. Communion is a place not only for reflection, but renewing, rekindling the first love. The Bible said here in His love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us. Can you say amen? And I use that word reciprocate, giving back to Him what He has given to us so graciously and so freely. When I get my focus on me, I get a bad case of discouragement. I get my eyes shifted from Him, and it's all about me and my pain, my heartache, who did me wrong, what I didn't receive, what God owes me. All of this stuff comes, junk comes into my life. But here in Holy Communion, I get a chance to unclutter all of that junk and get the focus back where it needs to be. And it's not on just Jesus as a Kris Kringle figure in the sky that just comes down and gives me what I want like some kind of spoiled child. But as an authentic Christian, I begin to view Him on the cross, dying for me. This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for you. Every time you do this, every time you focus on me, and He gives us tangible emblems to hold in our hands, to help us to focus on Him. Because the Bible said the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and other things entering in will absolutely choke the Word of God in your life and cause this mighty, powerful potential to come to naught and to be as nothing. In other words, you can attend church with no change. But if the Word of God ever finds a good ground heart, it will do it. It's not my preaching, it's the Word of God that I preach. There's a lot of people can preach the gospel better than me, but there's nobody that can preach a better gospel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the life is in the seed. And if the seed gets into the good ground heart, the seed brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Somebody say, you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you leave here like you came, nothing changed and nothing's going on. Amen. But if mighty change is taking place, you know what the Bible said is we behold as in a glass, literally a mirror, as we behold His face, we are changed. Everybody say changed. Glory to God. Into His image. Even from glory to glory. Amen. That change is continual and progressive. Even by the Spirit of God, God begins to work within us. And the Scriptures go on to declare this God that created heaven and earth. There's a lady renting a house to my son, and she was in a service where they thought they saw some gold dust. I don't know nothing about gold dust in services or anything like that. I know a lot about a cross that is vivid in my mind and real, that stimulates me more than anything else that God could ever do to stimulate me. That's what I know about. Praise God. And whether God does something in that area, He can do anything He wants to do, but there's nothing greater or better than the cross. But he was talking to me and said, Dad, what do you think about that? I said, well, I can't figure everything out. But one thing I know, when God wants to reveal Himself to this fallen world, He points to the heavens. Amen. He said the heavens are declaring. This universe in perfect order is declaring His handiwork. Amen. And you know what the Bible said? This God that stretched out the heavens as a scroll, this God that is that mighty and has that kind of articulated ability, amen. It said it's God, this God that worketh in you. I tell you, church is supposed to do more than just, you know, pacify our desire to keep our foot in the door in case we need a miracle. Can you say amen? This is a place where mighty challenge is given and mighty change can be wrought. You know why? Because the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. Amen. Quick means alive. It's living. Pastor, last night he's accident prone. He's just accident prone. He props something up to hold up a beam, knocks it down, and falls on his head. He's so accident prone, he said, I opened my Bible to preach and get a paper cut. Of course, my wife, who's getting as witty as me after all of these years, she said, well, the Bible did say the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I thought, she's finally getting just as corny as me. She'd been living with me for 48 years, headed for 49, and whatever I got is getting off onto her. Hallelujah. It's quick and powerful. That means it's alive. It's alive. There's life in this seed. Praise God. And when it finds a good ground heart, a receptive heart, free of all of that clutter that chokes it, it brings forth fruit 30, 60 and 100-fold, and God uses it, the Word of God, amen, to bring change in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. So as the Word of God is being preached and is being received into a heart that is uncluttered and ready to give heed to it, life, power, creative power literally is released within you and within me. Faith comes by hearing. It's created in us by the Word of God. That's in us. It's a catalyst. It turns it loose. It's a powerful thing that's supposed to take place. You ever heard the scripture? Amen. That faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And you think about promises. You should never. That's the promises is like the trigger. Amen. When you get a promise, you can pull the trigger on faith. You got the promise. You already got the faith to obtain the promise. And that becomes the trigger to obtain it is faith. But faith comes by hearing. Don't think of a promise. Think of a person. Because in the Old Testament, you won't find, I think maybe one occasion in all of the Old Testament, you'll see a word called faith. But the equivalent of faith in the Old Testament is crucial to understanding faith in the New Testament, the word faith. Every definition I've heard goes immediately to that definition, which is not so much what faith is, but what it does. It has to pre-exist to do this. Listen to it in Hebrews chapter 11, called the faith chapter in the Bible. The Bible said, now faith comes by hearing. No. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what happened when faith exists within us and we use it. But the initial faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It means it grows in us. Praise God. And you know how it comes? It comes because we begin to get to know a person well enough to trust him. Can you say amen? If I told you today, would you go with me after the service? Someone has made me filthy rich, and I don't want the rest of these people to know it. But I want to get you a brand new, what is that Camaro on Hawaii 5-0? You know what kind of car that is? Would you receive a brand new Camaro? Probably not. Okay. But if I told you I was going to do that, would you trust me? You believe I'm a man of my word? If you knew I had the wealth, if you knew, you done heard it. Word gets out when you get wealthy. If anybody in here ever wins anything, you're going to have a whole lot of friends. guy at work told me, he said if I, he thought by promising me this, God would help him win the lotto or the whatever the jackpot was. Amen. He'd get up there real big, and these guys would come around when I worked, in full-time employment. And they'd come around, and they'd say, Preacher Bob. They'd come over where nobody couldn't hear him and say, if I win the lotto, I'm going to make a donation to your church. So they figured God's going to make them win if they're going to give a little bit to the church, you know. And I said, man, if you win the lotto, I'm going to be at your house. Amen. Don't you think that I'm not going to take this for granted. You can move anywhere you want. I will find you. Then you say, I will track you down, make you keep your promise. I don't know if that man's a man of his word, but there are people. If they told me something and I knew they had the wherewithal to do it, I would put my trust in them. If you become filthy rich, this guy here becomes filthy rich, and he told me, preacher, yeah. Somebody said, I saw a T-shirt the other day said I'm dirty filthy rich, and then at the bottom it said 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I'll let you figure that out. Amen. But if you became like that and you told me, I want you to meet me at the car dealership, I want to buy you a brand new vehicle. You know what? Monday morning. You know where I'm going to be Monday morning? I'm going to be down at the car lot. Because I know him enough to know that he's not going to do that. And if he's got the money and I know he's got the money and he says I'm going to meet you, I'm not after the car, don't get me wrong. I'm trying to get you to understand something. It's what I know about the people that gives their word some kind of credibility and credence. If I met some stranger out here that told me the same thing, I'd be highly skeptical. In fact, if it's too good to be true, as a normal rule, it probably is. In the back of magazines, you can buy all kinds of things. And for years, the Postmaster General was trying to nail this one. They kept moving their address, but it was a surefire, absolute, money-back guaranteed, they said, bug killer. And anytime you go through the mail, they can get you for defraud. If you sell something that doesn't do, they can get you for that. Postmaster General, he's watching over with his people, all of that. So you send in and you get it. 1995. You got a surefire. You got bugs. You sprayed. You done everything. How many know the roaches love the climate here? Amen. They just love it. Yeah, they hang out and they get, they're tough guys. And to get rid of, this is surefire, 100% guaranteed. And when you get this little box, you open it up and inside is two wooden cubes. One of them has an A on it and one of them has a B on it. Alphabet, A, B. And the instructions, it says place bug on block A, crush with block B. How can you prosecute the guy? It'll kill him every time. Amen. I mean, you talk about slick, brother. That's slick stuff. So you can't trust just anybody. But when you get in the Bible, a man stands up. Can you say amen? A man begins to be revealed unto you. When you get in the Bible, you start reading about a man. Even in the Old Testament, in type and foreshadow, a man is being revealed. A man that's going to come. A man that's going to hang on the cross. A man that's going to show us the invisible God to where we could know exactly what he's like. And that man is Jesus. And that's why the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, because the primary work of the Word of God is to show you a man. Woo! Not a method, but a man that you can trust, lean upon. Hallelujah. Who's made a commitment to you that I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So trust is the foundation for the word faith. And the Bible said, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God, in the Old Testament. Therefore the sons of men put their trust in the shadow of thy wings. Can you say, man? That's why David said, thy loving kindness is better than life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hasid is the Old Testament word. God loves us enough to give us His Son. And Paul uses this analogy in Scripture. He said, if God loved us enough to give us His only begotten Son, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? If He wouldn't withhold heaven's best, how will He not do any less when we really put our trust in Him and call upon Him? Not only does our faith grow, but God begins to change us as we behold as in a glass what? His promise? No, His face, His person. We are changed. In other words, you're becoming what you're beholding. Amen. As we behold as in a glass, that means mirrored to us by the Word of God, and we see Him as He truly is. We are changed into His image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And where do we get that image? Where's the true image? There's no photograph of Him. Some photographs of Him don't do Him justice, because they show us somebody weak and anemic, and He looks almost pale and pallid and sickly. He was a carpenter's son. Amen. He was a carpenter's son. He was subject to his parents. He grew up and he must have worked with his dad. Amen. He was so well known in that family that when he began his public ministry, there were people in his hometown that wouldn't pay him no attention. They said, is not this the carpenter's son? Amen. You couldn't tell him from anybody else. That's why Judas, he didn't have a halo over his head. Amen. He didn't look, out of place in a crowd. They had to pay Judas to point him out, because you get him in a crowd, you couldn't tell him from anybody else until he opened his mouth.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because the Bible said, never a man looked like this man. No, never a man spake like this man. Said he's not like the scribes and the Pharisees. Amen. He speaks as one that has authority. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? I bet you'll take that car. I bet he was kidding me. I bet you. You know, you seen a little sticker? I'd rather push a Ford than drive a Chevrolet. I don't care what it is, as long as it runs. Can you say, man? My loyalties are the one that gets me there. Praise God. Anyway, when you look in the Bible, look for a man. Look for a man. The Bible to me is like a pop-up book. You see me in a bookstore, I'll head for the children's section. And I'll see where the pop-up books are. I'm still enchanted, intrigued. I like to open, you know, when it's a book and says, and the big dragon jumped out. And you turn the page, there it is. There's the big dragon. I still like it. It's still cool to me. Amen. He drew, the prince drew his sword to slay the dragon. You turn the page, there's that big sword. And I just think that's so neat. And you know something? The Bible is a pop-up book. You open it up with the Holy Spirit, because when He comes, He's going to do what? Testify of Jesus. He's going to point to Jesus. Hallelujah. When He comes, He'll testify of me. Amen. Open up the Bible and a man begins to stand out. Jesus begins to stand out. Can you say amen? The Bible said they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them in the days of Moses and the Exodus. And that rock was Christ. Here He comes popping out. Amen. What do you think? Amen. A piece of wood is going to change the poison in a poison spring so the people couldn't drink the water. But you throw that piece of wood in it, and that old piece of wood neutralizes the poison. Why? Because on an old wooden tree was going to hang a man that would neutralize the poison of sin. Can you say amen? And set us free from its power. Jesus pops up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, listen. Listen, that rock, they had no water to drink, and Moses smote the rock, and water came out of the rock where there was no stream. And the Bible didn't say, listen, the New Testament gives some great insight, said they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Now, that wasn't a slab-sided mountain following them around. You know what it was? When that water came out and they began to move the next day, that stream followed them. If they went uphill, guess what? the stream went uphill. You say, Brother Venable, streams can't go uphill. They can't come out of a rock either, where there's no water. Amen. We're not talking about science here. This is not science 101. This is not a physics class. This is about God. Amen. He made the rules and He can break them if He wants to. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this room. He's a mighty God. They all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock popping up again was Christ. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, consider Him in a particular, peculiar way that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and faint in your own mind. Every time I get in a communion service, it decentralizes me and puts Jesus where He ought to be. And the wonderful thing about it is, whatever I'm facing, faith begins to rise up. Because if He loved us enough to give us His only begotten Son, how will He not? How could He not? How would He not freely give us all things? All things that we want? No, that would be spoiling us. But everything that pertains to life and godliness, He hath given us. Everything you need to be fulfilled, He's provided. You may think you need something else. God says all you really need is to draw from this well. Amen. If you drink of the natural wells, you're going to come back time after time and thirst again. But He told the woman at that well, amen, if you knew who it was that asked you to give me to drink, you would ask of me and I'd give you living water and you would never thirst again. And how's He giving living water today? Out of our belly. We take the gospel. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We share Jesus Christ. We tell others where we found an oasis. And some of us, just a few of us, need to get that, all that correct theology up into a personal reality in our life so it begins to show in our countenance. Because some of the saddest sacks I've ever seen has been in church. As Vance Havner said, I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles. That ought not be. This ought to be the place where we reflect the joy of Jesus. Can you say amen? I'm a Christian. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Amen? Amen. I'm a Christian. What does that mean? That means Jesus lives in me. God is at work in me. The Word of God is at work in me. Hallelujah. Amen. And He's died for me on the cross. What a wonderful gospel this is. Lay aside every sin and weight that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you, looking. Focusing. Look means not to glance at when you're in trouble or in need. Amen. We all know how that works, don't we? Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll go to church Sunday. There's some folks must have had a hard week because they're in church today somewhere because they told Him they would come if He would get them out of that, but they're going to forget about that and be right back in the mess before long. But when you commit to Him in devotion and love and you look to Him dying for you and something begins to be kindled on the inside of you called the first love. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us, and in communion we focus on how He loved us. He commended His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And He didn't die one of those quick deaths. He died a long, horrifying, horrible, agonizing death that He might save you and me. And while He was on the cross, as the song said, we were on His mind. And that solicits my devotion to this man. Not to a method or some kind of a religious ritual, but to this man is my devotion. Communion is to focus on the man who hung on the cross for you, hung on the cross for me. I don't know what you're facing today, but if you really center on the cross today, amen, the things of this world, including the things bugging you and me, are going to grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. I can complain until I get to the cross. Soon as I come up against the cross, I can't complain anymore. I can only praise Him and thank Him. But you know something? When I praise Him and thank Him at the foot of the cross, the things I'm complaining about, God either gives me grace sufficient or He acts upon those things. Amen. When I begin to thank Him for what I have instead of complain about what I think I need. Can you say amen? And he has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. And listen to this. He's blessed us, Paul said, with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Hallelujah. That means he's lifting us up. We used to sing that old camp meeting song, lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up to higher ground. Lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand. Can you say amen? And I believe communion is to help us to be lifted up above this old passing, fleeting world. Amen. Into the presence of a holy God. That to me, it's just like a, everybody say steel. This is the kind of steel that magnets attract. To me, heaven right now in my life is like a magnet.
Yes, amen.
Joe DeSalvo, you know, he reminded me that we're both in the same age group. I know that he looks much younger, but believe it or not, he's up there close to me. 1 year older. Found the fountain of youth. Won't tell me where it's at. Joe. But he told me the other day after church, he said, We're in the last quarter. This is the last quarter. It is. I mean, you have to face that. I mean, you know, we're not going to live forever. 60 is given to man by reason of strength. 40. We're in the last quarter. Amen. This is the last part of it. Amen. I want to finish well. Amen. I want to finish well. I've been preaching too long, praying too long, serving God too long. Amen. I don't want to lose the focus on him who saved me and the cross on which he died. Amen. I love to tell the story, amen, of Jesus and his love. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. What the angels began on that Christmas 2,000 years ago, we're carrying into 2012. Christmas isn't over because the tree is gone. Christmas isn't over, amen, because December 25th is behind us. Amen. I bring you good tidings of great joy. I tell you, Christmas isn't over, which shall be to all people. A Savior has come. God has took on flesh. He's went to the cross. He's died for us. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. And we're supposed to be still. And there's a lot of people who say, I don't go to churches where people get all emotional. Well, you shouldn't go to races where people do that either. You could never go to the Indy 500. You should never go to concerts where people get all emotional. Can you say amen? You should never watch quiz shows where people get all emotional. You should never drive on US 19 where people get all emotional. I see a sign that says, honk if Jesus loves you. If you know, honk if what? Honk if you know Jesus or something. I never honk because I don't know what mood that person is in. Amen. And I've got too many bad fingers in my life. Isn't it exciting? You know, if people judge Jesus by what they see in a lot of just church-going ritualistic Christians that have lost the first love and never get excited about anything, no wonder people stay away in droves and don't want to listen to us witness to them. My biggest witness when I was in the workforce was my joy on Monday morning because everybody else had been out carousing and drinking and partying. They come in with headaches and hangovers. And if you come in with joy on Monday morning, you're like a city set on a hill, which cannot be hid. Can you say, man? So I'd be down at the end of the locker room and shift change. There's 150 people going home and 150 coming to take over. And they're all in there. Some of them getting ready to go home and some of them getting ready to start work. And we all converge. And I'd be down at my locker without even trying to be a witness. I'd be whistling some song, just some joy song, because I'd start singing to the Lord in the shower and singing to him on the way to work. Time I got to work, the song was still in my heart song was still going. And I'd just start humming or whistling something, and I'd be over there minding my business, whistling some happy tune. Amen. It didn't even have to be a recognizable Christian song or any song. Just a happy. It was happy. Make a joyful noise. Everybody say a joyful noise. All you lands. So my noise was joyful, praise God. And on Monday, There's nothing joyful about going to work. So off to work I go. Headache, hangover. Ah, the joys of the honky-tonk life. Amen. You saw it. The bloodshot eyes. And what I do. You remember the song, What I Do Last Night? After tequila, Jose Cuervo. Did I jump on the table, kick out the light? Did I run over anybody? Are they going to track me down for a hit and run? Did I kill somebody? Did I stab somebody? Don't tell me about the joys of the honky-tonk life. Amen. I've seen enough of that joy. I don't want that joy. I want the real stuff so I don't have to drink myself and fall down like I used to and bust my lip and not even feel that it was busted. I've been there, done that. Maybe you hadn't had enough of this world, old hoss. Maybe you want a little more of it. Can you say, man, you can have all you want of it, but we in church this morning. We're not here to cater to that world out there. We're here to tell you about something bigger and something so much better. They're not even worthy to be weighed in the balance. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've been there. I've done that. I'm going to tell you from somebody who's been there and done that. This is so much better. Can you say, man? I'm not in a box. I'm set free. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I look at people in a box and they're looking at me and saying, boy, I don't want none of that. I won't be able to sin like I sin. Well, from the look of you this morning, I'm trying not to look at anybody because most of you are bigger than me. Amen. I want to tell you something. Amen. Just from me to you while I have you, while I have the opportunity. Amen. You don't look so hot this morning. You don't look like sin is making you so happy. You don't, no. You had a bunch of sin, amen, last night. But you don't look very happy about it this morning. Not to me you don't, and not to anybody else you don't. And I work with people just like you. And I know where you're coming from. And I know what you need. And I know the world will never give it to you. But I know a man who can. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So your hard looks won't stop me from preaching Jesus. Your indifference won't stop me from preaching Jesus. Christians that don't care anymore won't keep me from getting excited about this cross and this man that saved and delivered me. Hallelujah. 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 God's still God. He's still on the throne and the cross is still real and relevant. And if you ever find this living water, you'll never thirst again. You won't just give up sin because it's wrong. You'll give up sin because you just flat don't need it anymore. You just don't get the buzz anymore. You're on another high. Hallelujah. Praise God. I didn't quit drinking. I'm drinking more now than I ever drank. They used to say I'm drinking from the spout where the glory comes out. Can you say amen? This is real. So I'm over there whistling my happy song, my heart song. I'm not trying to be a witness. The Bible said you'd be like a city set on a hill. You don't have to try. It becomes so obvious in the midst of all of these people who thought the world would fulfill them, and they come in and they're going to go out next week looking for the same high, the same turn on, the same sexual experience with somebody, something to make me happy. And just to have all of that in Christ, not all the sin stuff, but the fulfillment, it's a witness to the world. And so I was singing, and it bothers some people when you're happy. They want you to be miserable like they are. And somebody on the other side said, you know, misery loves company. On the other side of the locker, somebody said, who is that over there so happy on Monday morning? And without me saying a word, somebody on the other side, down at the end of the other side, said, that must be the Rev. And then they said, he's got that deep, settled peace within. And I thought, glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. This is not something we just do in church. This is something we take to the workplace. We take into our life. And you don't have to get on a soapbox. All you got to do is be happy out there. Be fulfilled out there. Be patient with people. Be kind. Hallelujah. Do what you do as unto the Lord, not unto men. Praise God. Hallelujah. And leave the fragrance of Jesus wherever you go. Amen. Leave the fragrance of Jesus wherever you go. I want to encourage you this year to open the Bible so you can see a man. And as you behold him, if you really, really behold him and begin to devote your heart to him, the Word of God will start a work in you. The Holy Spirit, it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. And then something happens in your life. Everything. God uses everything to achieve one end. And Romans 8:28 has to be followed by Romans 8:29 to be understood. If you take it out of context, you won't get it. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Verse 29 tells you what his purpose, his greatest, grandest purpose for every Christian is. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. God said, my whole work within you. Amen. My whole ministry, my work of my spirit is to achieve that end. The work of my word is to reveal Jesus and change you more and more into his image. The fivefold ministry is set in the church until we all come to the knowledge of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Amen? None of us are there yet. But that's the target. That's where all the fivefold ministry, the work of the Holy Spirit, the great work of the Word of God is moving us in that direction. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing God wants to accomplish in us. That the world would see Christ in us. That the world would know that Jesus lives because not because of our perfection, but because of his perfections. That we show them his virtues. Can you say amen? You're never too old for that, because I hate to break it to you folks that have been in church a long time. You're not there yet. I love you and you've come a long way, but you're not there yet. I'm not there yet. We're not there yet. But we're on our way. And God isn't going to stop working to that end until it's over. Amen. And when he comes, he's going to consummate it all. Going to work to that end until he comes. But when he comes, we're going to be changed. We're being changed now, but when he comes, we're going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. And our vile bodies will be fashioned after his glorious body. Corruptible will put on incorruption. Today, this is a keynote message, and it is that in this year, 2012, we are to open our Bibles so that we can look unto Jesus. We're to get under the Word of God so that we can be more like him. Can you say, man, get your hunger back for righteousness? God is going to fill you. Can you say amen? And then resist the devil and watch what happens. He will flee from you, not because he wants to, but because he simply doesn't have any other choice. Hallelujah. Now we're getting ready to receive Holy Communion here today. If there's any sin that would keep you from receiving this cup, I want to take just a few moments. Just repent of it. Don't carry it any further. Don't pet it. Don't hold it. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Just wait a holy moment. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Whatever keeps you from this cup is keeping you from that vital communion relationship with Jesus. Don't let anything interrupt that communion. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. There's no better time than right now. Hallelujah. Right now to examine ourselves and lay it before the cross. Hallelujah. If you opt not to receive communion, we will not look down on you. We will understand that you haven't come to that place in your life to make Jesus the Lord of your life. This is not a ritual for just anyone to practice. This is an open communion. We trust you to be honest before God that if you know Christ as your personal Savior, and you honor what he did for you on the cross, and you're very reverent at this moment in light of what he suffered for you, you understand these emblems to be what they represent, then your heart is ready for Holy Communion today. We invite you to take it with us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe that in 2012, the work God was going to do, not because of the 2012, but the nearness of his coming, He doesn't mark time as we do. But because of the nearness of His coming, I believe that God is not going to waste the gospel or this holy oil upon people who will not appreciate it, who resist it and don't want it. I believe He's going to send His word to people that care about their soul, care about what He did on the cross. We're not here to please everyone. Amen. We're not here to make everybody happy. We're here to tell you about somebody that loved you enough to give His son, and that He's worth your commitment. And if you don't feel He is, then this is a game to you, but it's a game you're going to lose, because one day you will draw your last breath. I've been a minister of the gospel for 40 years. I've been room after room in hospital after hospital. I've heard a lot of people repent of a lot of different things. I've never heard anybody say, "I'm really sorry I didn't live my life in sin now. I'm really sorry I served Jesus." That has never happened. It never will happen. When you get down to that point, He's all that matters. Can you say amen? And if you do it now, your life can take on brand new meaning. Praise God. God loves you today. And He's changing the people that will let Him. This is going to be a year of challenge and change. Believe me, you come here to church, you're going to be challenged. Why? Because God wants to change us all. If you're willing to learn and willing to change, God is going to do a wonderful work in you. Are you ready to receive Holy Communion this morning? Praise God. Are you ready to receive Holy Communion? Praise the Lord. Amen. Would you please serve us communion as we prepare our hearts today? Are you glad you came here on the first day of the year to worship God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for the two hand claps. Are the rest of you glad you came here to worship God today? Amen. Hallelujah. You think Jesus ought to get a better... I'm not asking this for me. I'm asking it for Him and what we're doing here. You think He ought to get a better hand than Elton John? All right. Praise God. You think He ought to get a little better hand than Lady Gaga? Hallelujah. I think so too. I believe that. I believe we ought to out-worship them. Our God is good. Hallelujah. Let's get ready for Holy Communion. You can turn those lights down. Prepare your heart today. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us.
Look upon His face.
Promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of His sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you.
Yes.
Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price.
Hallelujah.
To make us one.
Jesus.
So we share.
The Holy Spirit dealing with you. Do you have a heart that God can touch today? Is it not flint? Is it not hard?
Stain of sin
shed
for you. Drink and remember, He drank that cup that all may enter in.
God is calling
to receive the life of God.
He's calling. So we share
in this bread of life.
over to Christ today. Just give yourself away. Let Him take the crown. Let Jesus take the wheel. Remember, God allows for you to turn. You can turn around today. Hallelujah. In this service, you can come home. You can come home. You can come home. Hallelujah. Let's lift Him up.
And so with thankfulness and faith, we rise to respond. Steps of Christ as His body here on earth. As we share in this suffering, we proclaim Christ will come again. There is joy in the feast of heaven. Around the table of the King, around the table of the King.
Jesus, we love You, we praise You. I've seen too many people die without the Lord. Some instantly, some with hearts that have rejected His call so long that they didn't feel it anymore. And they refused, adamantly refused to repent of their sins on their deathbed. Every time you reject the call, it's like a callus is made on the heart. It calluses. It calluses over. And after a while, you can sit in the presence of God with the Holy Spirit calling you. Not because He wants to point out your sin, but He wants you to be in a safe place. Because He knows that you're one breath away from eternity. You don't know. If you could see the hourglass running, you could figure it, you could time it, but you can't see the sands of time running. But for thousands of people all over this world, today is going to be the last day of their life. Young man in my town, just before Christmas, in his 20s, on a motorcycle, anticipating the holidays. A woman, 90 years old, driving a van, turns in front of him. She's in the wrong. She made a mistake. He has a helmet. He's in the right lane, going the right speed, doing the right thing. And when I went to pick my son up, I saw a wreck, and then I heard the news that it was a fatality, and I saw the motorcycle. It looked like you'd taken it and just squished it together. Killed him instantly. He didn't know that was going to happen. That wasn't in his plan for the day, but it happened just like that. A man at PTL, married to a young, beautiful wife that I met at PTL. She's 24 years old. She's standing in the kitchen doing dishes after a wonderful dinner with great plans for the weekend. An aneurysm happens in her head. And she drops to the floor and she's gone. And he's processing that and dealing with that. And we begin to realize that this whole life is a veil. It's a temporary thing. But eternity is forever. I want to make sure. My calling and election, sure. That's why I don't play with the world. I don't play with sin. I don't cut any corners. I speak straightforward. Because everybody in this room, the sands of time is running. Whether you've got big muscles or tattoos, or whether you've got a highly education or a lot of wealth, when the time runs out, you can't buy another second. You can't wrestle death away. Can you say amen? But you can be saved. And you can be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And if you want to be a real man or woman, try following Jesus, going against the grain instead of going along with it. It'll take a real grown-up, man-up, woman-up commitment. Can you say, man? I've heard little kids 3 years old cuss a blue streak. That don't show how tough you are. Can you say amen? Amen? Your muscles don't show how tough you are. You want to be tough? Deny yourself. Quit giving in to Satan. Take up your cross. Follow this man. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That's what real men and women do with the cross. We take ours up and we follow him. Praise the Lord. The same night he was betrayed, he wasn't thinking about himself and what was about to happen. He did that in the garden. He took bread and he broke it. And after he broke it, would you please just snap that? He said, "This is my body broken for you. Every time you do this, I want you to remember me." And remember, it's got to be in a particular, peculiar way. It's Jesus on the cross, suffering and dying. My body is broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, in this way, you show the Lord's death. You may eat the bread in memory of him, suffering for us. And Lord, I thank you. This tasteless bread is so sweet because of what it represents to me today. He picked up the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you show the Lord's death." That word "show" means to proclaim it publicly. Anybody who wants to witness this today is welcome to witness this. This is a public proclamation that our salvation is directly due to the broken body and shed blood of Jesus. You may drink the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blood and body of Jesus. I want you to stand with me today. I want to thank you for coming and sharing Holy Communion, the first service of a new year. It's going to be a spirit-filled new year for the people who are hungry for righteousness. And the days and weeks to come will demonstrate that hunger or lack of it. But I pray that spiritual hunger will come into this community that we're in out here, and that people will be driving by. Something's happened as we pastors pray for one another, and it's happened at one of our brother's churches. He said there were people showing up, and he asked them what made them come, who invited them. They said, "Nobody. We were just driving by." Amen. It's not a big church, and there's not a big to-do, but God is directing. And when they pray for me and they pray for us, they said, "Lord, send the people to Brother Robert's church, the people that you want to hear the gospel and to be saved. Bring people," in other words, bring people that will respond and be receptive to the ministry that God has appointed and anointed. Because then things are going to happen, and lives are going to be changed, and souls are going to be saved. Now, when I walk out of here today, I'm going to walk out of here sold out. S-O-U-L-E-D. To Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? How many believe if you're going to follow him, you ought to follow him all the way? Can you say amen?